It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Gets loud, it gets loud. Starting the 5 o'clock hour. Nye Zaragoza is with us. Sorry, I scared you.
What a song. You're,
come on now. Rebecca Black, I mean, there's no one better. Since she did that song when she was 12, it's just been just an ascension.
I felt like I was an episode of Disney Channel.
Yeah. She's, that was it. That was pretty much the hype for her. But she's doing well now. We talked about her, I think, last year. There's been a profile on her. She's doing okay. There's nothing wrong with peaking at 12, and I'm not mocking on it.
No, I've never
peaked, right? It's never happened.
Where's the confidence, dude?
There's confidence. That's self-deprecation. I was trying to think of who was talking about this the other day. It was the kid on Bronxdale. So story for another day. 5 o'clock hours here. Big weekend. We're going to be over at the NBA Summer League next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. But, yeah, the basketball world, big convention here essentially, the NBA convention for 10, 11 days. We'll have more tickets to give away next week. We gave away some tickets earlier in the show. But I highly recommend going to the NBA Summer League because if you love basketball, everyone is there, past, present, future. Mm-hmm. You'll be out of your mind. And it's different than going to a normal NBA game where the atmosphere is kind of tight, security.
Tickets are much more expensive.
They are much more expensive. And yeah,
you can ultimately take your entire family to see a summer league game. Like, I think that's the best part about it.
LeBron James ain't playing this week. I was hoping he'd be around, but obviously he's got some Team USA responsibilities. But it's guys like that. You'll see the rest of the Lakers organization there.
Yeah,
like JJ Redick will be around. I don't know if Anthony Davis will. He can't be either. Team USA, but like luminaries from all the organizations, experienced players are hanging around, watching their young players. The draft picks that just came in, this is really their intro. So that's kind of cool if you want to see young players. Bronny's going to be a big part of it. I don't know if he's going to play every game. I hope he gets mostly a good reception.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think, I don't know, like, the internet's not, it's, it reps some of the real world, but it's not the real world because of the anonymity. And there's been so much crap rained on LeBron and Bronny. I think the crowds that show up to watch Bronny are going to be hyped. Mm-hmm. Very positive.
I think that's the main reason I'm going to be watching it and supporting Bronny, Dalton Kennett, the Lakers. That's my team, so I'm going to support them either way. I think Bronny, people judge him a lot because of his performances that he had in the California Classic.
He's a second-round pick who probably, if there was a longer draft, this is not a dig on him because he's a developmental guy. If it was a longer draft, he may have gone in the fourth round. Lakers took him because they could take him, and obviously he's got his ties to his dad. Organization wanted to do right by his dad. We played Seth Greenberg earlier from ESPN who was like, what are we doing? This is the 55th pick in the draft. He's a player of the future, potentially. Sorry, they have the Dodgers. Sorry, I'd never do this. They have a Dodgers and Detroit game. Who is pitching? My Lord, he lost that pitch. The ball goes over the back and by the bat of the Detroit hitter. The ball was thrown so hard, I don't think he saw it. The ball was on the backstop, and that's finally when the player like flinched. Like, holy, that's intimidating. That's it. I don't think I'd want to. Mark Canna was at the play. I don't think I want to put my foot in the bucket after that one, or back in the box. Anyway, so Seth Greenberg laid it out. Let's all chill. And honestly, well, we talked to the sportsbook dude here, the Burbs, the risk supervisor Patrick Berbert. And he said they're not booking Bronny over-under points. There's money to be made on it, and we live in a world of gambling, but that's not helping Bronny. I don't know if you've seen it all over. So every day, every game he played in that California deal, it was like an update.
terrible. Over-under was 10 points. He had four. Like, relax.
Yeah. And then him also going out with a minor injury. That didn't make anything better as far as the critics. They came even harder after that. But Dalton Kennett did pretty well. I will give him that credit. Lane Kinson did good the first game, not the last two.
High expectations for Dalton Kennett. So, Bronny is a star of the summer. Or at least the offseason. We go over to football. Was he a star? He was certainly an internet topic. Mm-hmm. Most people, I'm sure, casuals, had no idea who Harrison Butker was until he went viral, making a speech to pump up the student body, especially the women, at Benedictine College. That's one of those speeches that came off as a bit old school in a bad way. I don't think we had you on around the time where we've reacted to that Butker speech. So I want us to react to what happened at the ESPYs last night, because Butker came up again. What were your thoughts on what he said?
I think that he is allowed to have his own opinions. He's allowed to have his own beliefs and desires, but to make it seem to the world that women should act like this and women should be homemakers, I thought that's where he went
wrong. You shouldn't strive to have a job.
I think that's where he went wrong, because you can have your beliefs. You don't have to bash your beliefs into anyone else's, because women nowadays, you can have traditional beliefs, but at the same time, we are also living in a different world. So if a woman chooses to go to work, that should be okay as well, because also not a lot of people are in your position making the type of money that you have, where your woman can stay home.
Bingo. That was one of the things. First of all, I'm very pro-female. I was raised by a really strong woman. She worked all the time, to your point, because she had to, right? My father had a pretty good job, but they wanted more money, right? Wanted a better lifestyle. Yeah, the Butker stance, millionaires giving advice to who knows what people, you know, what the women especially are going to earn, or who they're, you know, if they're going to be in relationships, or they're going to be single the whole time. By the way, you don't have to strive to be in a relationship. You don't have to strive to be in a two-person household. But that advice from a millionaire, that was one of the first things I thought of. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great in my relationship, but, like, she's got to work. Mm-hmm. Like, well, like, that's, you got to live a certain lifestyle. Like, not everyone comes from money like Harrison Butker. Yeah, he made a lot of women mad. He became a real target. I don't think it's going to be a massive distraction during the football season. I think there might be some local reporters who want to ask him about it. I don't know how the Chiefs will handle that. I don't know if women are going to protest the guy. I don't know if we'll see signs at games.
He's canceled a little bit there, especially for, you know, the woman to come out there on the ESPYs yesterday and Serena Williams to say what she said. Like, yep. You're canceled.
Give me the Williams sisters. Both Serena and Venus were out there. I'm not remembering the name of the woman who's on Abbott Elementary, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is very short.
And the third one.
The Williams sisters are very tall. Don't ever forget that. But, yeah, it was joke time. They were making jokes throughout the ESPYs, and here's the Williams sisters.
So go ahead and enjoy women's sports like you would any other sport, because they are sports. Yes.
Except you, Harrison Butker. We don't need you.
All right, there you go. A couple of women in the crowd are like, yeah! All right, let's go. Screw that guy. So between that comment and Serena's comment about Caitlin Clark, man, Caitlin Clark has done really well. I'm paraphrasing, but whew, white people love her.
Well, it's true. Why is everybody so sensitive? It's a comment. It's a joke. It's actually very true. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. The world is just so dang on sensitive and can't take anything.
Finley Kia text line. If you want to react to what Nye is saying, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. I agree with you. It's a joke. I don't know if it's a completely factual. It does seem that she does have a rather large backing of white folks who appear to be from the Midwest.
And that's okay.
But people get offended. They said, Serena Williams, you're racist.
You know what? Everybody can't like you, and not everybody's going to like what you have to say. And her getting on that stage and with that big of a platform, she was already expecting that.
Does the joke judging Caitlin Clark's fan base take away from the message, hey, Harrison Butker, you can't say that?
How was her joke judging Caitlin Clark's fan base, first of all, by saying that white people love her?
Again, not entirely factual.
Not entirely factual, but also not offensive as well. Who the heck cares? White people like you.
Oh, a lot of people.
Black people like you.
A lot of people are offended.
Orange people like you. Pink people like you. Everybody likes you.
But you've seen what's gone on the socials and the internets. There has been a racial battle with some fans, and I think a lot of bots, frankly, making it a racial thing with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
So that's the world we live in.
Do you think that people's words should be tread lightly because racial division has been brought into the WNBA? Specifically this year?
I don't care. I'm not super careful on the air. I don't care. I'm about communicating. I think people should be able to take jokes, or if they're offended, kind of look inside themselves as to why they're offended. I'm just talking about Serena Williams and mm-hmm. what her role is, what she wants her role to be, what some people are like, hey, you're a role model. Does she want to be a role model? On one hand, she's making a statement about Harrison Butker being a jackass and anti-female, and then she's going at, you know, the Caitlin Clark audience. But a lot of people go with the Caitlin Clark audience. A lot of people go with the Angel Reese audience. I'm going to say it again. I know you heard this before, but for the audience that hasn't been listening the last couple of months, these two coming to the WNBA is like one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It is. It might frustrate people. It doesn't frustrate me. We talked about it yesterday. Wednesday and Thursday, stories came down that suggested that the WNBA is flopping too much against Caitlin Clark. The opposite side of that would say Caitlin Clark should shut the hell up and stop complaining on the floor. Then the same day, there was a story about a conspiracy in the WNBA to foul Angel Reese at the end of a game to make sure she gets some free throws and some points to keep her double-double streak. Like, this is a lunacy.
Yeah, people are talking.
Yeah, everything's a work.
Yeah, everybody's talking. And those are all mostly part very true.
The talking part? Or I don't think there's a conspiracy to get Angel Reese her double-double streak.
I don't think there's a conspiracy. And even if there is, her teammates should be allowed to help her do that and achieve
that.
Well,
but the claim was the other team was helping by fouling her.
By fouling, okay.
But also the other team was behind. So that happens in basketball. You foul people to try to catch up and win. But there are a lot of non-basketball people who are watching. You're like, oh, what's going on here? They're trying to help. No, they're trying to get her to the line so she misses two so they can catch up. So it's crazy. One of the other things that came down yesterday that I thought was interesting on the ESPYs, and Nye's with us, Nye Zaragoza, it's Cofield. We're going to talk to Barry Odom in about 15 minutes, UNLV football coach. Get ready for the season. A lot of featurey stuff in our discussion. Dawn Staley talked about the gender pay inequity. She makes $3.1 million to be the head coach at South Carolina. Part of the statement was, And it was an overall fight for pay equity. She said, quote, paid less but win more. So that's applicable to her. I thought it was pretty interesting. And I think people are going to take the message the wrong way. Just because she is paid well doesn't mean that she can't fight for other women in sports to be paid better. And also the general public, females, to be paid better.
Yes, very true. I love the statement that she said, because when she said it, I didn't even think it was applicable to her, right? I think it was having everyone else's back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's one thing, but she did say paid less but win more.
Because that's a fact. If anybody else was in her position, they'd be making way more than what
men.
She's receiving. Men, exactly.
It's not anyone else.
Yeah, men.
Now, there is a man who coaches college basketball, UConn. Gino Auriemma, I think, makes the same amount.
I think he's the highest paid coach.
No, I think there are actually, I think her, I was reading it, no, we can double check on it, but I think her pay was, I don't know where they've been over the years, but I think her pay was put at that level because Gino was there.
As it should be.
Now, by the way, I don't know that Gino could speak on pay inequity, but he could speak on this, that he deserves more because he wins a lot, and he used to win more than the UConn men's coach. Gino Auriemma could, again, it's not the same issue, but Gino Auriemma could come out and be like, what the frick's going on here? Danny Hurley, coach of the men's team, just got a bump 6 years and $50 million. He makes $8 million plus. I make three. What is this?
I feel like in that sense, it would just be nagging. It really would be. We all know that pay women in sports, whether it's an athlete or coach, make way less than men do.
Right.
So when a man comes and complains, yeah, you have the right to do it, but at a certain aspect, it can also be seen as nagging.
That'd be a bad look. Okay. Should? I think this one's really interesting because I don't know the finances. Should women's basketball coaches make as much as men's basketball coaches if you're looking at money generated for the school?
I'm not fully there yet.
I don't think we have the numbers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It does the South Carolina women's program make as much or more revenue for the school? Because they win much more than the men's program does. The men's program had a good year last year. Now, the tough case with UConn, I'd virtually guarantee that the men's program makes more money, brings in more revenue than the women's program.
More ticket sales, more viewers.
2.5 times? Maybe, maybe not.
I think if you know, the women can do that at a consecutive amount of time, whether it be ticket views and money and revenue that they're bringing in, then we could make that case. But right now, it's just not there. Obviously, with the exit of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, that was a really big... They made statement within college athletics. And then you have other college women athletes that are coming in, Juju Watkins, that are making... So they're building it, but it's not fully there where I can say that it can take over.
More Raiders news in the offseason. Raiders have been a really big hit this week. A lot of it's because of Devontae Adams and the receiver show and some of the things he said in the episodes of the show, some of the things he told Kay Adams at the start of the week, which included him telling the Chargers social media team to keep his name out of their mouths, which I thought was hilarious. But he also, with Kay Adams, said that Aaron Rodgers is constantly in my ear about coming to play with him. Which, when I heard that, I was like, wait, I don't know that you're allowed to do that. Like, recruit other players. One's on the Raiders, one's on the Jets. What is Aaron Rodgers doing? So then yesterday, someone caught Rodgers on the golf course. He is playing in that Tahoe tournament. They do a celebrity Tahoe tournament. And this guy actually, he sounds like a noob, the guy doing the interview and just a fan. But I think sometimes that gets the most out of a subject. I think Rodgers saw the Devontae comment earlier in the week and was like, I'm going to lean into this a little bit. Fire this.
I love Lou Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
And I love Devontae. I can't wait to play with him.
Awesome.
Again.
Great. Love to hear it.
Okay, did you hear the pause there? Can't wait to play with him. Again. Wait a second, bro. Devontae Adams on the Raiders. How about this for Aaron Rodgers? If I'm a Raiders fan, how about this for Aaron Rodgers? Keep Devontae Adams' name out your mouth.
For how long is Devontae Adams going to be on the Raiders?
What do you think?
This year is going to be the year where we could see things crumble or we can see things flourish. And Devontae, he wants to win. He wants to win. So maybe those are conversations that him and Aaron Rodgers have had, which how would we know? They're friends. They've been friends. So, Raiders, you don't step your game up. If Devontae Adams is not getting the ball and you're not winning games, maybe he'll have an exit plan.
Could you see Devontae Adams midseason approaching the NFL trade deadline? Raiders, I don't even know when the deadline is and how many games they'll have in, but let's just say they're 3-6. It doesn't look good. Could you see Adams going to management and being like, I would like to be traded? Okay, we'll do what we can. We'll send you, you know, the team that gives us the best deal. No. Trade me to the Jets and get it done soon. What do the Raiders do?
I don't know if the Raiders I could see Devontae Adams doing that because there's only so much that a player can take as far as their unhappiness, especially going into the year that he's going into.
Right.
Now, would the Raiders actually make that happen? Maybe in a million years, maybe not specifically at the trade deadline, unless they're getting something in return that's really, really good for it. But Devontae Adams is going to be very costly and very expensive.
It better not get public, because that's happened in the past where Carmelo Anthony's kind of narrowed down his choices to almost no one, and the Knicks got hosed in that deal. Ken Griffey did it to the Mariners where he's like, I want to go home. I want to go to the Reds. And they got, they're like, we're screwed. Your demand is the Reds. Now the Reds know. And the Reds are like, man, we'll give you this. Nothing.
Okay.
So it's going to be, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out and what the, you know, I'm going to throw you something else. Good. You go first.
I want to give you the scenario, though. Yep. What if that did happen? What would the Jets give up in a perfect world?
Well, if it was public that they have to trade him to the Jets.
Let's just say in a scenario that it happened. We don't know how it happened. We don't know how it got there, but it happened. What would the Jets give up?
I mean, I think the Raiders would want a first-round pick and
definitely
additional picks, but I don't.
Maybe two?
I don't think. Well, he's not worth two because he's not 25. So that's part of the problem. And ones aren't given up very easily. So I think it would probably be maybe a second-round pick and something conditional, depending on, you know, how well he did. Can I give you something, though?
Mm-hmm.
Devontae should be very careful what he wishes for. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers, and maybe this would be the impetus to have him play a second year. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is playing 2 years with the Jets this year and next year. I don't know if he's doing that. He might be one and done.
Why do you say that, though?
He's got a lot of outside interest. He was talking about, he was considering.
So do you think this would be his last year?
It could be. The Jets could stink. He could be hurt. There could be discord. You can already see there's a weird vibe between him and the coach. He's another guy. He does whatever he wants. Hey, you know, it's mandatory minicamp. You know what? I had a trip planned to Egypt. Sorry, I'm going to miss it. The Jets are like, well, we suck, so we want to win. I guess we have to let Aaron do what he wants to do. So, like, that side's a problem. And remember, Devon already had a wish to play with his buddy, Derek Carr. And then Derek started leaking oil because of coaching problems, and Derek Carr had to deal with a lot here. He's a face of the organization. As Henry Ruggs is doing what he did. There's all this drama. Sometimes pairing up with your pal isn't always what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true. And the Raiders have been through a lot.
And I will bet you right now, because he already kind of hinted at it, that if you asked Devontae off the record and he knew it wasn't going to get out, if you asked him, hey, dude, do you wish you had just stayed with the Packers, and now especially because they've got a 25-year-old quarterback, Jordan Love, who's freaking good. I would almost guarantee off the record he would say, man, this has kind of sucked. I don't know why I did this.
Yeah, I would regret the heck out of that because the Packers are going to be contenders for years to come.
Well, if he leaves it wide open, my guess is, and I don't know what the salary cap situation is, but my guess is that the Packers, if he was made available, the Packers would be like, okay, we'll make an offer. We'll bring him back. So the Packers could steal him from the Jets, even though A-Rodge is there.
Yes, as well, but it was more than just Devontae Adams and his unhappiness. It also had to do with coaching as well in the Packers organization, and we all knew where that stood. And at a certain point, he's just like, I'm bouncing. I'm getting out of here.
Well, let's also say he was getting a big payday, too. I don't know what the Packers stance was on going max payday for him. So that's part of it.
Good point.
That's Nye. She's going to be on the show every day. That if you do that, good point. Okay, I'm totally kidding.
No, I don't agree with everything that
you haven't agreed with anything I said today.
No, I really don't. But when you do make a good point, I will admit
that. I appreciate that.
I will banter with you every time.
It's a no conflict Friday. It's been all conflict today.
Because you like conflict.
No, you're.
And
no.
You like to give these crazy scenarios.
There's no crazy scenario.
And I'm only going to agree with you if I truly feel in my heart to agree with you.
On the way
and
back.
In that stance, I do.
Thank you. We're going to talk to Barry Odom. We talked to him actually yesterday at Circa Media Days for Mountain West Conference football. A lot of good stuff on the way. Especially, there's some players I really like on this UNLV team. And Barry Odom's going to talk about guys like Cam Friel, a holdover, and one of the newcomers who really no one knows yet in Antonio Doyle.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Football season is here. We got all the reality shows, wide receiver on Netflix, New York Giants offseason. Well, we're 3 weeks away from, that's a Hard Knocks, New York Giants offseason. We're 3 weeks away from the debut of Bears Hard Knocks. So I was all amped up the last couple days. We had a chance to sit down with Barry Odom. You just heard Doug promoing tomorrow's big softball game. Well, there is a Rebel in the game. We started off this part of the conversation with the head coach of the Rebels, mentioning the fact that Ricky White is playing softball tomorrow, huh?
I sent him a text and said, I'm glad you're doing this. It'll be a great opportunity and meet some people. And I said, there's a couple things. Have fun, be safe, and don't strike out. And he sent back, I've never played baseball. But he's athletic enough. Hopefully he can run around and stay out of the way.
This is my problem. So he said the same thing. I said, what is your plan? You've never played. What's your plan? He said, I'm an athlete. That's way too much confidence. Like, it is a different sport.
Yeah, that's like me saying I can go ride a bull, right? Doesn't happen.
Easy segue.
Yeah, Ricky will be fine. He'll just stay out of the way. And maybe there's a designated hitter for him.
What team is he on?
He's on the Raiders team, I believe.
So he's around Ozzy Canseco and Jose Canseco?
Yeah, they're playing.
Perfect.
I could go in so many different directions.
I'm concerned. So we told him also, I don't want to get this in your head, because you talked about the mindset and the positive thinking and, you know, keeping your mind strong. Last year, Nate Hobbs, cornerback for the Raiders, missed the start of training camp due to an injury from the softball game where he was trying to catch a fly ball. He missed it. It hit him right in the face. I think he broke his orbital.
Maybe we'll have Ricky wear a helmet. That's a good idea.
Right? I mean, kind of funny.
Face mask.
Why not?
No question.
Speaking about crossing over sports, again, I stalk you on social media. Barry Odom's with us, head coach of UNLV. I saw Dan Hurley was talking about maybe he'd be a better football coach. Yeah. What do you think he meant by that? And then I think you jokingly said, hey, you know what? Come on. We got staff room. Let's go.
The thing I look, and obviously he's got it figured out basketball-wise, but I think the context, if I read it correctly, his motivational techniques, his kind of his aggressive nature, he thought was fit more for football than it was basketball. So as the rules are, unlimited coaches, you can have as many guys out on the field coaching as you see fit. So if he wants to come be part of a great staff and a great team, we've got an open locker with his name on it, ready to roll.
He's held up as a hero in college basketball, and the narrative annoys me, though, that he's old school and he's tough and kids can't be coached anymore. I don't know. I go to your practices. You guys coach tough. There are kids who can be coached tough, and if they can't, you probably can at least convince them, mold them to be coached tough.
Well, I think tough is a word that's ever-ending and descriptive. But for us to be teachers, you've got – you know, the game of football, the game of life is, I mean, there's no easy way to achieve what you want other than going down the road of the path that it takes to get there. And it's never in a demeaning way. It's just the physical nature of how we need to play the game and the understanding of it's going to be hard. And when your team embodies that and embraces it, then I think you get from point A to point B a lot quicker.
Barry Odom is with us. Adam?
Yeah, I'm interested in where this mindset comes from your players, because so many players I've talked to in the last couple of months, just run into events, things like that, I've tried to, you know, congratulate them. What a great season. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen success like this at UNLV. Great job. And their answer always is, didn't finish it. It wasn't a great season. We didn't finish the job. Where does that come from? Do you instill that in them, or is that just something that you find the right players that have that attitude?
Now, I'm glad that's the message that you're hearing, because it's absolutely truth. We did some good things. We fell short of what we wanted to accomplish. And, you know, down the stretch of the last part of the game, when the game matters most, and to win a championship, we lost. And so I didn't do a good enough job as a head coach getting ready to go play. We didn't play well enough to win the game, and we've got to learn and use those lessons to get back to that arena and then go win one, because I want to lead this team to a championship. They're hungry to get that. They understand it's not been done here. So I think there's, number one, I think we've got a mature team that hangs on that message and understand it and uses it motivationally to try to get to where we want to go.
Can you do that and still instill in them a pride of what they did accomplish?
I think they understand that we did some good things. I think there's no doubt about that. We've celebrated that. We also understand the standard, the expectation of where we want to be and what we want to be as a program. We've got work to do.
How do I guess you even have to talk to them about expectations because it's never happened here before, but those guys have never really been here before, right? I mean, it's players that haven't been part of 30 years. So now it's the expectations. Hey, pick to finish second. Last year, somebody picked you to finish first in the poll here at Media Day.
Yeah.
They were mocked, laughed at. Everybody's trying to figure out who was this idiot? Turns out they're pretty smart, but now the expectations are there. Pick to finish second. Everybody thinks you're going to be good. How do they deal with that?
I'm hopeful, and we'll spend time talking about it as a team. I'm hopeful they use it as motivation again this year, that we were picked ninth last year. Obviously, that turned out differently. Okay, what are we going to do with this year? Okay, pick second. Okay, that's a great start, and recognition of where we are today. If we don't go do anything with it, then we failed.
UNLV Football Talk, Barry Odom's with us, Cofield and company. You know, closing the season strong is important from a schematic standpoint, execution on the field, but also from a stamina standpoint. Did you feel down the stretch like you lost anything from a stamina standpoint?
I thought we were beat up a little bit, but my guess is probably everybody in college football was.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that once we got to the arena there the last 2 weeks of the championship game and then the bowl game, I don't know that we were built for it yet. And that's everybody. That's the approach. That's the habits. That's the understanding of, okay, we've got an opportunity here in the championship game to go do something that's never been done. I'm not saying the arena was too big. I'm not saying that. Our kids did a heck of a job. We were towards the last 3 to 4 games of the year. We were hanging on in a couple of position groups with just getting guys to the game.
Yeah.
And I think some of our preparation was affected by that.
Well, you got beat up at running back, obviously, with Jett going down, and then you caught the bad break of Baldwin and now Jure, who's up at Washington State. They got hurt, so it tested the depth. But what I was building towards is the first three quarters of the season was awesome. You had almost no injuries. And I still don't believe that your strength coach has gotten enough shine on what he did. And I think we're going to see it again. Coming up here when we first see the players in the fall, just how he's the stamina, staying injury-free, and also building up the bodies.
There's such a huge part in that. I mean, that is our advantage, in my opinion. One of our strongest advantages is the job Jeff Fish does. Our players will be ready when we start practice. They're going to be ready to go through a two-spotted 24-period practice, which is hard to do. And they're going to be ready to go. And I have no doubts that we'll be ready to practice the way we need to start fall camp. Now, can we maintain that through the month of August? Can we get to game week and have everybody healthy and ready to go? There's some of that is management of the practice schedule. There's some of it luck of the draw and how things go with injuries. But I have no doubt we'll be ready from a physical standpoint. And then you look at our team, Steve. We measure all the time on vertical jump numbers, explosive numbers, power clean, hang clean, broad jump, and we compare those to where we were last year at this time. We're a different football team in a good way.
Also, the freshmen who showed up in the spring, a little bit of a head start. They're bigger.
Yep.
They're bigger than they were last year as a freshman group. They're yep. bigger than the past. I saw an interesting tweet yesterday, conversation starter, and a lot of it was built around Deion. And they were asking, they put up three coaches, Deion, and actually Mike Norvell was not on the list. I forget who else was not on the list, but it was Portal King, right? Who's the coach who's the Portal King? And I saw Lane Kiffin was like, Deion. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if you want to embrace this, because I know you didn't like the Portal. You told us the story. You can tell that again. But you actually could be up for this imaginary King, Portal King, because I started looking through the roster last year. You had like 8 or 9 guys, and I'm probably undershooting, who were like key parts of your rotation, and I think you may have more this year from the portal.
We have substantially more this year. It'd be interesting to look at it on paper. The portal's been very, very good to us, and now we're going to be a high school recruiting team, and we have been. We've signed 48 high school players in the 2 cycles I've been here. That's not going to change. But also, as soon as we have an opening or a departure or a roster spot that's available, we're going to be very, very aggressive. We're going to be select and direct on who we go get, and we're going to get guys that are here that can help us win a championship.
Accolades on the Portal King angle. Obviously, Jackson Woodard probably was better than you guys thought. He was that's unbelievable. The year he had All Mountain West Conference, now he's the co-preseason defensive player of the year. I have to keep mentioning, in a Portal King listing, Getting Jose Pisano is one of the more insane things I've ever seen.
No doubt. What a weapon he was.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's one of the big question marks we have going in. You know, we won some close games last year. I mean, Colorado State, Jose won us the game. You know, we don't know who that guy is right now. And we feel like we've got some real talent at that position. But it's easy to, Jose graduated, next guy in. There's a lot. I mean, he scored a lot of points and a lot of clutch points.
Same deal on next guy in. I think you've got three good guys to work with at quarterback aside from the young guys. Where are you right now? You know, we're all poking and prodding about camp coming up here. Yep. With Sluka just showing up about a month ago. Haj Malik was, you know, one of the guys in the spring. Cam, how you feeling?
I feel great about the depth in the room. I feel like that most positions on the team, every position on the team, we're a lot better than we were last year at any point. Now, what does that look like going through fall camp? Who separates themselves from effectively running the offense? Who can complete the ball? Who takes care of the football? Who can convert on third downs? Who makes a smart decision on second and seven and just throw it away to live to play third down? All those things that go into playing the quarterback position, we know how important that spot is. It'll be an interesting battle, just like it's going to be an interesting battle at defensive back, just like at one of the linebacker spots, just like it is at receiver for who is the number four receiver. I mean, this is kind of – it's going to be fun because there's real battles at most every spot.
Fired up.
Jackson Water said yesterday, he's like, I don't know how they're going to decide who's playing in the defensive backfield. It's like, no. All those guys deserve time. It's going to be – which is a good problem to have.
Look at the smile. Barry Odom's with us.
Yeah, we mentioned you have three quarterbacks, which I think is important. A lot of people talk about two.
Yeah.
Everyone loves and raves about Cam. And what he's meant for, even when he's not on the field, what he's meant to the program.
What Cam Vril has done from the time the bowl game was over last year until today is remarkable. Now, physical development, understanding of the playbook, schematics, throwing, he is a different player. And I felt strongly about him last year towards the end of the year because of the development he's made. He's a talented dude.
I had that list of nine, and I'll put you on the spot here. Can you remember back to fall camp last year? With some of the transfers, some of the new guys,
No.
And where you were like, well, I mean, but I'm sure you can recall, like, hey, I thought this guy was something, and then he was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. And he turned out to be really good. Is there anyone that comes to mind aside from Jackson, you know, all-conference honors?
From last year?
From the transfer pool, yeah. My list was Woodard, VD, Jackson Turner, Lester, Pisano, Elad, Whitmore, Webb, Haas.
Jack Haas for me.
Okay.
Because the importance he played at playing center, I mean, that guy, for us, the value he has is as important as any other position because him snapping the ball, most of the communication piece up front starts through him. He has been a rock-solid player for us at that spot.
These transfers, Shear was on with us like 3 weeks ago, and he really raved about Grimes, which is an obvious one. That's a high-profile guy. Can I just throw a rando at you? You guys always add a couple of players – in June, I'm like, who is this? Where is he from? What school? Did you need help on the defensive line? I feel like your rotation is deep. Can this guy, Grant Hessler,
yeah, I think so.
Can he play? He's 6'4", 300. He looks like he's 38 years old. At least in his photo, I'm like, he looks mean.
He may be 38. I don't know. I've always, and I guess it's the league that I grew up in, we're always going to try to oversign offensive defensive linemen because – you're an injury away from then getting thin in your depth. And if you don't have somebody, if we can't run the ball and control the line of scrimmage on offense, we don't have a chance. I don't care how good we are everywhere else. Defensively, if we can't stop the run, and that starts with up front, the front seven, if we can't stop the run, it doesn't matter how good the guys we have in the backfield. So I'm always going to try to creatively find a way to get one or two more at those spots. And this, I believe in the line of scrimmage.
Barry Odom's with us. Last couple of questions. You can get your tickets, UNLVtickets.com. Get them now. Single game, the mini packs. There's generally a gift attached to the mini packs. You can get season tickets as well. Season tickets over at Legion start at as low as $150. One, Adam, I know you covered the SAC Summit. That's another one of those unique events that you guys hold, and it's at your facility. Yeah. Were you around for that? I saw a lot of people kind of raving about the influence of the SAC Summit.
It's amazing the amount of guys, NFL players we had here, Hall of Famers, all pros, upcomers. It was fun for me because Darius Robinson, a kid I recruited at the University of Missouri, was a first-round draft pick now in this last year's draft. He was here. He connected with Antonio Doyle, who I recruited also to Missouri. Then he, after I got fired, he decommitted, went to Texas A&M. Now Doyle is here on our team right now. Darius is here. They connected. So to watch those connective pieces go back together and then the knowledge that the pros were able to give to our guys as visitors of the SAC Summit, forever grateful. And you know, it's unique because we're the only place in the country that could pull something off like that because guys want to come to Vegas. And Max Crosby, you know, kind of really was the leader of getting all those guys together. I sent him out a random message. He shot back immediately a response and, you know, his thankfulness for the facility and had a number of things motivationally to pass on to me to give to the team. So it's a really cool connective piece that I don't know that I realized all the opportunity that were here when I got the job.
You should write about Antonio Doyle.
True.
Well, he is such a good story. I was using him as a reference to two 24-year-old dudes I was talking to from Nevada. His story is great because you mentioned he's had this journey. That kid stood in front of me and was like, man, I am so grateful for this final opportunity. He's like, I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids like that, right? Who don't know at 18, 19 years old.
Everybody matures differently. You know, and you got to go through it and you got to get dirty a little bit and your experiences. But Doyle's, I mean, he's 6'4 and some change, 265 pounds. I think he's a draft pick. He'll be an impact player for us.
Good luck this week. I think your players are all going to disappear. Video game's coming out. I'm not going to be heard from for a while.
I'm mad about my rating. I mean, I'm pissed off. I don't really know what it is, but I'm mad about it.
Join the crowd. All right, Barry, we appreciate it. There is Barry Odom. Get your tickets, UNLVtickets.com.
Thanks, guys.
Barry Odom. Adam Hill is not lying, and he did a really good job in that interview with Coach Odom. Adam is not on next week. I think he actually is just holding up and playing the game. The video game comes out. EA College Football's back after like an 11-year break, and he's what is Adam, like 50? He's all fired up about it.
He's going to take time off of work to play the game.
Yes. Timmy Chang, who we had on earlier. What's Timmy? Like, whatever he is, 42? Something like that? 38? He's all into it because he was in the game when he played. Now as a coach, he gets to play again, and he knows the kids. And, man, UNLV football players are freaking fired up about that. It is, that will be one. It's coming out, I think, on Tuesday. That will be one of the biggest stories in all of sports. Let's close strong. We'll go into the grab bag here in a couple minutes. Reminder, this is a great spot to come down for lunch, for dinner, for happy hour. It's Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Nye is with us. Nye Zaragoza. It's Cofield Mateo with the setup. Griffin's back in our Finley Toyota studio. We'll come back and we'll set you up for the weekend.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
NBA Summer League is in town. Make sure you get over there. UNLVtickets.com today through the 22nd. We'll be doing live shows on Tuesday and Wednesday. NBA expert. It's funny, I was just talking to Nye during the break about our crew. We have a really good crew, really big crew on Cofield and Company, and everyone's got their specialties and things they love. Adam Hill's, what, Raiders, VGK, and wedding dresses. John Von Tobel is one of our guys. John loves the NBA. So John's actually, he's got some free time, so he's going to join us next Tuesday and Wednesday, and he'll be all giddy to be around the NBA Summer League situation. Again, UNLVtickets.com is where you can get hooked up for the NBA Summer League. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We love TV on this show and sports TV shows, documentaries.
Literally only.
Reality shows, kind of.
No, never. Waste of time.
Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Hard Knocks Giants, Hard Knocks Bears. Hard Knocks in season. This will be really interesting. In season AFC North. That'll be out a while down the road. Wide receivers on Netflix. This is where a lot of this Devontae stuff's coming from this week. Did you watch Quarterback last year?
Loved it.
You did?
Amazing.
I actually didn't.
You need to.
I watched it. I faded halfway through.
Why?
You know what? The Chiefs annoy me. That was part of it. Mariota was boring.
Based off emotion.
And I got beat up repeatedly about Kirk Cousins. I like his wardrobe. I think Kirk Cousins would be like a Hawaiian shirt guy, because I know he's a plaid shirt guy, and his wife dresses him.
He's a button-up guy.
Yeah, he's got a like Garanimals matching. This plaid shirt matches those khakis.
Sprint. Have you seen that yet?
What is that?
It's a Sprint series on Netflix about all the best run. It's they've created it so that it can come out before the Olympics, but it's about Sha'Carri, Noah Lyles. It's so good. I'm on episode three now. It's following their lives, their battles, adversity, what they experience, what they go through as runners.
Oh, wow. One more time. What's it on?
Sprint on Netflix. Very good.
All right. Another show I got to add to the mix.
Got a whole lot of stuff to
I got to bump something. I'm almost done with the Bear. I will get through wide receiver soon. What else do I have to finish? I always have a rolling list.
You got to kick to the curb the reality.
Well, but that's reality.
Yeah, but it's reality of things that we actually enjoy. Like, okay,
no,
I'm not the one to watch, like, Love Island.
No, but I do love Below Deck. I love that show.
You like what you like.
Right?
I'll let you have that.
Okay. But no, I'm not. Love Island, no. I saw some of the promos. I'm like, this is silly. And by the way, 90 Day Fiancé, not my choice, is on a 24-hour loop in Costa de Cofield. It's craziness. Excellent job today. That was really good. Really good. Nye Zaragoza is going to be one of
our
regulars. Thanks so much to Treasure Island for housing the show today. Get on down here. 55-plus TVs. You got the sports book here. If the book is closed, they got 24/7 kiosk. Mateo, good setup, man. I had multiple shows this week. Griffin, great week. Everyone have a really good weekend. Get out and watch sports this weekend. Go contribute to some charity. Buy the tickets to the softball game. Battleforvegas.com.